The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 46, text number 47, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 31st, 2006, in Melbourne, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 46, Uddhava visits Vrindavan. Text number 47.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavat yudite surye.
Nandadvari
rajaukaso.
Drishradattang
shatakaumham.
Kasyayam iti chabruvam.
Translation. When the godly sun had risen, the people of Vraj noticed the golden chariot in front of Nanda Maharaj's doorway. Who does this belong to? They asked. Oma Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam shtapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadamayam datati svapadantikam. So, in the present time, in the modern day civilization, we are very proud of our latest model automobiles, especially if we have a luxury car like a Mercedes-Benz or a Rolls-Royce or something like that. But actually, what we drive around in, it is simply trash. Because here we see there was a golden chariot parked in front of Nanda Maharaj's doorway. So we think our modern day civilization is very, very advanced with computer chips and jet airplanes and so many contraptions. But what is the result of our so-called advancement of technology? We've simply polluted the whole planet. The air is dirty, the water is dirty, the ether is dirty. Just like last night, we had one program down the street, and the streetcar is making this horrible screeching sound, just like some demon going through his death throes. Is it? Actually, this material civilization is going through its death throes at the present time. It's like now in Australia, by satellite, they have calculated that the water is disappearing from Australia. So this trend continues, the whole Australia will become desert. So what good will their technology do? They want to ignore the Vedic technology. Vedic technology is already there. That, if we perform yajna, a sacrifice, then we can bring the rain. But they think we know something better. We can manufacture automobiles, we can manufacture this and that in our factories, but I'd like to ask you one question. Can you eat nuts and bolts? You see? Can you sit down, just like The Australian notes are there. Such colorful currency you have in Australia. Can you sit down and make a salad out of Australian notes and eat? Is it? No. If you want to live, then you depend on God. Your material civilization, they are simply trying to take the credit, that's all. That we are great. That is simply an illusion, that's all. It is called delusion of grandeur. They are simply imagining themselves to be great. Yes, aham bhogi, I am the enjoyer. But what is the enjoyment? You cannot enjoy this material world. Is there anything enjoyable in this material world? There is nothing enjoyable here. It is not possible we can enjoy here. It is simply a place of misery. And you may object, come on, why are you saying like that? Let me try to enjoy. I mean, don't take away everything from me. At least give me the illusion of enjoyment. Please don't pop my little bubble of my false sense. Let me at least have my false sense of enjoyment, please. But you know something? Your false sense of enjoyment is your worst enemy. Your very worst enemy. Because that false sense of enjoyment, maya sukhaya, prevents you from experiencing actual ananda, spiritual bliss. As long as you are attached to the happiness, the so-called happiness of this material world, you will never taste spiritual bliss. So the first step in self-realization is you have to realize I cannot enjoy this material existence. My pleasure I'm trying to derive here is nothing more than the combination of the senses with the objects of the senses. But that's not me. If I'm hungry and I put my shirt in the dal, I dip the shirt sleeve in the dal, will I get fed? No. If I'm hungry, then I must actually feed this body. So, the body is actually a garment only. It is not us. We are spending our entire life's energy just to take care of the needs of this body. Shama eva kevalam, it is stated in Bhagavatam. It is simply a useless labor. Now granted, you have to put some energy because it is a vehicle. And it is a very good vehicle, in fact. This human body is a very, very auspicious type of body to have. Because in this body, one can actually inquire, who am I? Where have I come from? What is the ultimate purpose of my existence? It is a most auspicious thing. The Vedas do not say the human form is bad. No. The human form is a golden opportunity to continue the progressive evolutionary march to spiritual perfection. The human form of life is either your best friend or your worst enemy. You see? If this human form of life is utilized to imitate the animals by eating, sleeping, mating, and offending, and of course we do it in a more polished way, you see? But it is the same business. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. If we utilize this human form simply for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then we are in a position lower than the animals. Why lower than the animals? Because animal, that's his dharma. When the pig goes into the drainage ditch to look for stool to eat, he's just doing what he's supposed to do, that's all. You can't criticize him, oh, he's not acting according to dharma. No, he's a very good dharmi. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, cleaning up the stool, eating the stool. You see? But if a human being does like that, he's lower than animal, because animal is doing his dharma. The bird is flying in the sky, the fish is swimming in the water, every single species in this universe are doing exactly what they are meant to do by the laws of nature, without any deviation. That's why the human beings are polluting the atmosphere, not the animals. That's the proof. Every single species is doing exactly what they are meant to do according to the laws of nature, except for that one species who has simply become rascal. Because they are not acting according to dharma. Instead of taking up the life of spiritual realization, they are trying to imitate, artificially imitate the ways of the animals. If you are working in a corporation, you will see there are lowly paid employees, and then there are those employees at the top who are paid humongous salaries, top level executives, isn't it? Why are they paid more? Because their looks? No. Because they are taking more responsibility. You see. According to your level of responsibility, that the purposes of that corporation will be realized, according to your degree of responsibility, you are paid and rewarded proportionately. So this is why the human being has so much nice facility. He is given the highest responsibility, the highest duty to get out of the cycle of birth and death and to regain his original position in the spiritual world. So the human being is given the best facility. He can live more comfortably. He doesn't have to spend every second 24 hours a day eating, sleeping, mating and defending. He can intelligently arrange his eating, sleeping, mating in such a way that it's going on automatic pilot so that he can focus his energy on spiritual enlightenment. But if he misuses that facility, if that highly paid worker in corporate Australia misuses that position he has been given by the corporation, what happens? Get out. Here's your little pink slip, fella. Get out. So nature gives us pink slip. You do not use your human life properly, you're not meant to be a human being. Go down to the animal kingdom. You don't belong in the human form. Your resume doesn't add up to your being in the human form. You have to take a lower position. So it is of the utmost importance that now we have this human form, a tato brahma jigyasa. After 8,400,000 species, so much difficulty we have gone through to come to this human form, jalajanavalakshani, stavara, lakshavinshati, the 8,400,000 species, We've come to this human form, now we must utilize it for self-realization. Otherwise, we are doing as described by Narottam Das Thakur. Otherwise, what are we doing? We are simply drinking poison, knowingly drinking poison, that's all. Hari Hari Bipale Janama Gonainu. Oh my Lord, I have uselessly spoiled this life. Although I have come to this human form, my Lord, I spent my life foolishly, uselessly. I did not care for Radha and Krishna, and so I swallow poison knowingly. The Hare Krishna mantra comes straight from Krishna Loka. But with chanting, I have no connection. Day and night, I am burning in this dark world without making any endeavor to make the correction. Lord Krishna comes as Sachi's son. Balaram descends as Mithai. By chanting, the wretched have all been saved, including Jagai and Madai. Oh my Lord, O son of King Nanda, together with Vishabhanu's daughter, I've got no shelter but Radha and Krishna. Humbly praise Narottam Das Thakur. So Narottam Das Thakur, that illustrious Vaishnava, Acharya, songwriter, has so wonderfully, wonderfully described our position in this material world. We are simply drinking poison. But he is finding some hope that these Jagai Madai, they have been saved. So if Jagai Madai, they have come, then there is some hope for me also, because I am also a Jagai Madai type character. You see, ruffian, lusty, greedy, angry fellow. There is some hope for me also. You see. If I call out for that mercy of the saviors of Jagai Madai, Chaitanya Nitai, you see, Guru Nitai. By their mercy, Jagai Madai have been saved, so there is hope for me also. I can also be saved. So in this way, we have to understand how to utilize our valuable time. Time is the most valuable commodity. It's far more valuable than money. You can lose $1 million and you can get it back again. But even 1 second of time which is wasted in frivolous activities outside of Krishna consciousness can never be gotten back. Every single moment is the greatest, most valuable, opulent pearl, jewel, sapphire, ruby, you see, every second. So therefore I must see that every second of my 24 hours a day is being utilized to advance myself on the pathway of spiritual realization, Krishna consciousness. I must be very careful. I must judiciously arrange my 24 hours in such a way that I'm not wasting my time, you see. That I'm actually making steady progress, day by day, week by week, year by year, decade by decade, back to home, back to Godhead. This Srimad Bhagavatam is not simply some interesting story to read. We are meant to live the Bhagavatam. As Srila Prabhupada explained here in Melbourne, one can actually live in the spiritual world. So we are meant to live in the Bhagavatam world by always bringing the mind back to Krishna, always engaging the tongue in glorifying Krishna, always engaging the ears in hearing about Krishna, always engaging the body in coming to the temple of Krishna and bowing down before the deity of Krishna, everything Krishna, 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 Krishna. You got the message? Everything Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. No other interest. Well, you know, a little Krishna, a little this, a little that. You know, I'm a well-rounded man. Unless Krishna is everything for you, you are out of balance. Krishna must become everything. And don't think that is narrow, because Krishna includes everything. Everything that exists is the energy of God. Everything is Krishna's energy. So, all you're doing by becoming Krishna conscious, all you're really doing is bringing everything into focus. You're simply bringing everything into perfect, crystal clear focus. That's what it means to become Krishna conscious. We do not deny, like the Mayavadis, this world is false. I must merge with Brahman. No. This world is real because it is the energy of Brahman. It is the energy of Krishna. Therefore, the devotee, he experiences Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna at every step. That is the position of the devotee. He experiences Krishna in everything. And he offers everything back to Krishna. He feels constant gratitude in his heart how Krishna is blessing him at every minute. And therefore he offers everything to Krishna, 24 hours a day. So, we can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah. So, I'm a little hard of hearing, actually quite hard of hearing, but so you're saying that there's the animal population and the human population. So,
animal population is decreasing.
Decreasing.
Human population is increasing. Human population is increasing now. So, which means that the species or the.
Well, the number of jiva cells is constant. That number never changes. Within the totality of existence, there is a constant number of jivas, and that population figure is infinite. So the population of the total existence is infinite. And within that infinitude of jiva souls, there is a teeny weeny small percentage which turns out to be infinity also, who end up in this material existence trying to lord it over the Lord's energy. And they try to lord it over in so many different ways. Well, I'll try it, and they're never happy. Well, I'll try to lord it over this way, I'll try to lord it over that way. Sometimes they try to lord it over as an animal, sometimes they try to lord it over as a human being. So the number of jivas is constant, but they're simply trying different ways to lord it over. If you look in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll see that in the Dwarpa Yuga, the human population was much greater than it is now. We have very much a reduced population on this planet. It may be hard to understand that. But in a world where Krishna is the center, and Prabhupada said we can easily maintain 10 times the present population on this planet. Previously, the whole planet was like a paradise. Agriculturally, climate-wise, you know. Now, the supply of necessities is very, very restricted because of the sinfulness. But previously, areas that are now desert land, they were beautiful, fertile areas that could maintain so many people. So formerly, the world population was much greater in the previous yuga. Now, because of the Kali Yuga, everything is reduced. Krishna. Did that answer your question? I don't know if that's true, but even if it were true, that just means that animals are coming up and becoming human. That's all. One comes from the animal form to the human form. And the human, the lower forms are punishment for sins which were committed in previous human life. And after one burns off those sinful reactions, then you get another chance. Okay, we'll give you another shot at it to become self-realized. So it just means if the human population is on the upswing right now, it just means that more jivas are getting an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. But are they taking advantage of it? No, they're not. So that's our duty, that's our business, that's our work. Our responsibility is to somehow induce them that now you have this human form, instead of going back down to the animal kingdom or even lower, the plant kingdom, kindly take up Krishna consciousness now. Of course, many people take up pseudo-religion. You know, God, give me this, give me, give me, give me. But that doesn't qualify them to go back to Godhead. The only persons who actually can re-enter the spiritual world are those persons who are in a mood of complete surrender to the Lord. Not that they use the Lord for their own personal sense gratification. Like most of the so-called religious people do nowadays. They go to the church, the synagogue, the mosque, the temple, and they just say, God, I need this and this and this and this and this and this. There's no thought of what service they can render to the Lord. There's no thought of what the Lord wants them to do. They simply have their program that they want the Lord to do for them. Those persons are not qualified in any kingdom. They might get another chance as a human being, or they may not, depending on what their activities were. If one is very sinful, eating animals, engaging in illicit sexual activities, one definitely has to go down to the animal kingdom. So there's an increase of human beings. There's simply more opportunities for the jivas. Actually, it's a very good time for an increase of human beings on this planet right now because Lord Chaitanya's movement is going on. It's a special mercy right now if we have an increase of human beings because that means more jivas will get the opportunity to become members of the Krishna consciousness movement. It's a very good thing if there's an increase. In terms of delivering the fallen souls out of the cycle of birth and death, an increase of human population is very good. That means more people are getting the chance to go back to Godhead. In the animal kingdom, there's practically no chance. But if those animals can take birth as human beings and take prasadam or hear the holy name, it's very good that the human population is increasing right now. So more people have a chance. The Vaishnava is compassionate. He wants to see that as many as possible of jivas will be delivered. He doesn't think, well, I don't want to be overcrowded here, you know. No, he thinks, let more human beings come so they can become delivered. That's his move. Any other questions? Yes.
Thank you for your class. Two questions. When one goes down to the animal kingdom, does one transmigrate throughout the planets, throughout the universes, or one stays on one planet and goes throughout?
One can. That depends on one's karma. One could remain on planet Earth, or one could go through so many varieties, through millions of planets. It is simply according to karma. There are millions of planets in this universe, and they're all habitated. They're all habitated, if that's the correct word. They are inhabited, yes. All the planets are inhabited with many, many varieties of living beings. So yes, one doesn't necessarily have to remain on this earth planet. The scientists do not understand how light is spread throughout this entire universe. They think maybe it's out there. They even have some radio receptors trying to pick up, thinking maybe they're out there, maybe they'll send a radio message to us. But actually the radio message is already here. Why they don't take? The great sages are already giving. We have Bhagavatam. They're spending so much money on these powerful radio receptors to hear messages from outer space. But now we are getting message all the way from Golok. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the words of Krishna are penetrating through the coverings of the universe. And they don't even want to read it. Just see how stupid they are. Complete ignoramuses they are. So yes, one can wander from one planet to planet to planet for millions and billions of lifetimes if one is very sinful. Questions, Mom?
Can I ask another question?
Yes.
Just wanted to ask, how can we convince people about the urgency to use this human form of life, probably like preaching to people, because a lot of people think like, well, we're not becoming a Christian or care.
Well, it's quite easy how to convince them. The formula is very, very simple. You have to be convinced. That's all. You know what Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles? He said, Krishna lived at Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking, maybe. The reason we're not very good at convincing others is we haven't fully convinced ourselves yet. We still have the little demon of doubt floating around our head, you know. Maybe, maybe, maybe. You simply have to... Actually, there's one saying in Hindi language. If you can conquer your mind, you can conquer the whole world. So we're having difficulty to convince others because we are not convinced. I don't know about Australia, but in America, there's many people who believe in God. If you go to some major city and take a survey on the downtown street, my dear sir, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah. And then, if a second question was asked, my dear sir, if I told you that God is a little blue cowherd boy, and he wears a peacock feather in his hair, and he stands in the bushes on the bank of the Jamuna River in the moonlit night of the Sharad season, playing the fifth note on his flute. What would you say? Say, I'm calling the cops. There's a nut out of escape in a sane asylum out here on the street. You see? So, how did Prabhupada convince us? Western boys and girls. You see? Indians, I can understand. That is your culture. But we Western boys and girls, how did Srila Prabhupada convince that yes, God is a little blue cowherd boy? And he wears a yellow dhoti, and he wears a peacock feather in the hair, and he blows the fifth note in his flute, and the bushes on the banks of the Jamuna in the full moon night of the Sharad season. You know the answer. Because Prabhupada was absolutely, totally convinced. Prabhupada could see Krishna at every minute. That's conviction. Prabhupada said, I can see that Krishna is honoring the prasadam. Prabhupada could actually see how Krishna... We have faith. Well, Prabhupada told us that if we lay the plate in front of the deities, Krishna will take. But that's our faith. But Prabhupada, he could actually see how the deity is taking the prasadam. Prabhupada could see that. So, that's the answer. The fact is, if there is one person who was totally, absolutely convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt of the reality of Krishna consciousness, that one person can deliver the entire universe. What to speak of making a few devotees? He can make everyone in the whole universe into a devotee. This is stated by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So, would you like to make devotee? So, you have one devotee program. You have one devotee, one person to make a devotee. If you can make that person a devotee, then you can make so many devotees. You know who that person is? That person is you. You must make yourself a devotee. Those little, of course, you're a devotee. But if you go deep within your heart, you will find there are so many non-devotional things hanging out there. There's lust, there's anger, there's greed, there's fault-finding, there's pride. So many non-devotional little critters roaming around in the heart. You see, you got to get your exterminator, Hare Krishna exterminator in there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Get rid of that crud. You see. So the more that your heart becomes clean, you'll be able to make thousands of people devotees. Any other question? Yes. What's she saying?
She's saying that in India she used to preach to her relatives and not to eat meat and kill the animals and take vegetarians. And they were saying that if you take only vegetarian, then all the animals will spread out everywhere.
Ah. If we don't eat the animals, they'll take over the world. Actually, nature is very good at balancing the populations by all kinds of different means. Nature has its own way of keeping a perfect balance among the species. You don't have to worry about playing God. Any other questions? Yeah.
Cows?
Yeah,
Krishna's very, the cows are very dear to Krishna.
Yes, cows are very dear to Krishna.
So Prabhupada started the farm communities so that by looking after the cows, Krishna's pleased, and the preaching and everything flourishes.
Everything flourishes. That's right.
So now, how do we see that the cow is a devotee? Like,
how what?
How do we?
Cow is a devotee.
How the cows are devotees?
Yeah, how can we see that? That's what he said. Because cows are very dear to Krishna.
The cow is not necessarily a devotee. But he is very... Cow is a dumb animal. But that dumb animal, the cow, is very dear. It's the Bhagavatam also says, sa eva gokaraha. If you go to the holy place and you don't eat simply for darshan, which you don't hear from the sadhus, then you're like a cow or an ass. So the cow is considered a dumb animal also. But it, even though it's a dumb animal, it is very dear to Krishna. Doesn't mean he's a devotee because he's very dear to Krishna. But he has a very nice opportunity. If that cow can be utilized in Krishna's service, then he'll become a human being in his next lifetime. You see. If we can maintain cows on Krishna conscious farming communities, utilize all of their energy for Krishna's service, that cow will be a devotee in his next life. He is not a devotee now, consciously, just a dumb animal. But he gets the opportunity to engage in Krishna's service by the mercy of the devotees. Any other questions? Yes.
With the cows, if we just simply leave them on the farm and don't milk them or work them, are they getting any benefit?
Well, they get, if you have a kirtan and they hear the kirtan, they get some benefit from that.
But we need to work them.
But if you're not, they're not actually doing any seva, then you know the benefit they're getting is gone down considerably. Our society is meant to have ongoing successful programs utilizing the cows and bulls according to the Vedic system. Our society is meant to have that, and if we're not doing it, we're failing. It's a very sad state of affairs if we're not able to use the bulls to plow the land and cultivate crops and show the ideal example of living off the land depending on the cow and the bull. I realize there's so many practical considerations. I'm not criticizing any devotees, but I'm just saying for the position of ISKCON is that if ISKCON is not fulfilling its duty given to it by Srila Prabhupada to show the ideal example of caring for the cow and the bull and utilizing them for tilling the soil and providing milk, then it is a disgrace. It is a disgraceful position for ISKCON. You see, and we have to pray to Prabhupada to help us come out of this disgraceful position so that we can actually do what he wanted us to do and show practically the whole world how to live simply depending on the cows, the bulls, and the man in Krishna.
Some what you were saying before in devotional service, there's an urgency and we shouldn't waste one moment.
Yeah.
But sometimes when we might be wanting to do these things out of passion, like play the fields with their bulls and things.
Passion is good.
But then we're told that
it's better than ignorance.
Yeah, but then we're told we don't have any credibility or we're qualified to do it.
Yeah, so that passion must be combined with transcendental. It has to be transcendental passion. You have to. It's like in driving, for example. You're driving down the freeway, right? And someone may passionately, just like I had a driver driving me on a preaching tour, and the driver was very passionate. So sometimes if one acts simply out of passion without intelligence, then one can make a foolish move, you see. But the car in front was going very slow, so my passionate driver said, let me get around this car so I can keep going fast. But the driver didn't notice there was a car coming up on the left, and kawam, there was a collision, you see. So it's good to be passionate, but you have to be intelligent also. That passion has to be controlled by intelligence. Intelligence is a quality of sattva-guna, you see. One's passion has to be bridled passion. Just like you can have a wild horse, a wild bronco, or you can have a horse which is a trained horse. The trained horse can run fast also, just like the wild horse. But the difference is you can control him. You can make him go exactly where you want to go. They can go as fast as you want him to go or as slow as you want him to go. The wild bronco, he may run very fast, but you have no control. And then all kinds of havoc may happen, you see. So, just as that trained horse, he has very strong passion for running. But it is bridled. It is controlled. So you have controlled passion is required, you see. Controlled by intelligence.
Right. Let's say you're not on that level yet, but you still want to have a go.
Then you have to work under those who have that intelligence and follow their instructions. That's why guru is required. That's why senior Vaishnava is required. They can engage your passion in such a way that it remains in the service of Krishna. So, we'll stop here. We thank you all very much. Gandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.